You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For this week, we're doing this sort of ongoing Iran tensions with the United States. Iran does have a sort of English language broadcast that I've used on the show, Press TV. They seem to have been taken off YouTube, I think to something to do with the American government's sanctions against the Iranian government. So I think Google legally has to either kick them off or like shadow ban them. So instead, I've found a clip from Russia Today, which is sort of Russia's equivalent. And it's interesting because they're obviously quite supportive of Iran. But at the same time, they have their support of Iran is quite sort of, it's an alliance of convenience in that Russia is quite a sort of, it wants to hold the mantle of the sort of the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Christian Church, and they have a sort of lot of historic tensions with the sort of Muslim world that have been shelved right now because of their mutual hostility towards the United States. But it is interesting in how all of this, things are changing, and it's a good way to find out what the position of these various governments are is by looking at their propaganda.
As Washington teetered on the verge of an all-out war with Iran, it looked like it had just stepped outside of its comfort zone. The risk of plunging the Middle East into yet another disastrous conflict was an obvious weight on the US. But now, with the tensions easing, America is back in familiar territory, waging a political and economic campaign to force its rival into submission.
What is our strategy post the Qasem Soleimani killing and post the ballistic missile attack on the United States? This is our strategy. We are diplomatically and economically isolating the regime in Iran until they behave like a normal nation.
Washington has charted these waters through and through, and it's not afraid to get creative in putting Iran under pressure. After admitting to accidentally downing a Ukrainian jetliner with more than 170 people on board, Tehran has seen a fresh outbreak in anti-government protests. And demonstrators, they haven't suffered from any lack of support from the US, with Donald Trump even taking a crash course in Persian to write this tweet.
To the brave, long-suffering people of Iran, I've stood with you since the beginning of my presidency, and my administration will continue to stand with you. We are following your protests closely and are inspired by your courage.
Translated, no obstacles and no language barriers can stand in the way of democracy. And to make sure that nothing is lost in translation here, Washington is backing up its words with action, a method tried and trusted, sanctions.
We are announcing additional sanctions against the Iranian regime. As a result of these actions, we will cut off billions of dollars of support to the Iranian regime.
Israel, as is tradition, was quick to cheer. It always does whenever things take a turn for the worse for Iran. But few other nations shared the excitement. For Iran, a nation that spent decades under all flavors of sanctions, being free of them is more of a challenge, actually.
The United States only thinks that since it's a superpower, that it can do whatever it wants. So it tries to hurt Iran through sanctions. It tries to hurt China through economic warfare and trade wars. It tries to hurt Russia through sanctions. But ultimately what it does is that it brings these countries closer to each other, and other countries become have a more negative view of the U.S. government. And I think in the long run, what it does is that it diminishes the stature of the United States and the capability of the United States to maintain its hegemony.
So yes, that was a clip from RT talking about the sort of Iranian-United States relations. And what you heard there, I would say it's broadly the line you would hear from Press TV, which is the Iranian state broadcaster or public broadcaster. It is noticeable, though, that they did mention those anti-government protesters. And they mentioned how they're getting a bit of support from the United States in that tweet from Trump, but they didn't go as far to say that, oh, it's all just the CIA or whoever is, you know, organizing these protests to bring down the Iranian government. So it does say they do, which is the line of the Iranian government, of course. But on the other hand, Russia is sort of being a bit more cagey about it. Because, of course, in the mix of all this, you have sort of Trump and his relationship with Russia, which does get, I think, overstated a bit that, oh, he's just a puppet, which I don't think is accurate. But he certainly is sort of moving towards a detente or sort of normalizing or friendly relationships with the Russian Federation. You also heard there just at the end, there was an expert talking about how the sanctions do sort of bring various countries together against America. So almost acknowledging in a way that Russia and Iran's sort of semi-alliance friendship, whatever you want to call it, is more of convenience than a sort of fundamental ideological, you know, unity. So yeah, that was the Russia Today clip. Next up, we've got a clip from TRT, which is the Turkish sort of state broadcaster. And Turkey, historically a very strong ally of the United States, especially in the Cold War. They were always very strong backing them. These days, it is a bit more complicated, as you will hear in this clip.
The tense standoff between the United States and Iran continues following the assassination of Iran's top general, Qasem Soleimani, in Iraq earlier this month. Iran retaliated by striking a U.S. military base in Iraq. And now, while both sides seem to have stepped back from the brink of direct confrontation, they face mounting criticism at home over their handling of the situation. Last week, U.S. President Donald Trump justified his decision to order the killing of Iran's general, claiming that Soleimani posed an imminent threat to U.S. embassies in the region. Trump also introduced a new set of sanctions against Tehran, but his administration has yet to present any concrete evidence to support the claim that Soleimani posed an imminent threat to the United States. Democrats and some Republicans in Congress have sharply criticized the Trump administration over this issue. Amid the fallout, the Democratic-majority U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill limiting the U.S. president's authority to use military force against Iran. Three Republicans voted in favor of the bill. And on Monday, the Trump administration's initial narrative shifted again from imminent threat to deterrence and self-defense. So as Iran and the U.S. continue to weigh their options, what are the broader implications for the region? And does the U.S. have a coherent strategy? Our scheduled interview earlier today with the U.S. State Department's representative for Iran, Brian Hook, was canceled at the last minute as the Trump administration seems to be trying to present a unified position on Iran. Joining us now to discuss this is Thomas Pickering, former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs and former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Ambassador Pickering, clearly the United States administration is changing its tune when it comes to the justification of Soleimani's killing, going from an imminent threat now to the idea that this was part of a bigger strategy of deterrence. Was it the lack of any compelling evidence? Or was it really the fact that Soleimani may have been a good deterrent?
The compelling evidence seems to be absent, and our friends in the Congress who apparently have heard it have consistently said that it isn't there. The second question is there a strategy? One in many ways has to be very skeptical about whether there is a strategy for dealing with Iraq. The strategy mainly seems to be Trump's compelling urge to speak with Rouhani at some point, and to resolve the problem, perhaps with a big bang agenda. And Rouhani isn't having any of it, in large measure because Iran believes it has serious reasons to distrust the United States.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.